T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Ed Morse Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is. The 9 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dotto Show. We're here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming on the internet, WQAM.com. TuneIn Radio app, radio.com app on your mobile phone, your smartphone. If you want to get in via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560 or via the plumbers911.com text line. But please don't text and drive, but you can reach us there at 56022. Rafa in Miami sends in this text on the all the New Yorkers in South Florida. The New Yorkers here like to criticize the fans here for not supporting our teams. I ask, if you live here, how are you supporting your beloved New York teams? Are you flying out every week? Just saying, it drives me nuts. Another great point, right? They bitch and moan about, oh, not enough of you show up to your games. Why are you so late to Heat games? Why don't you show up to Marlins games? I don't see you showing up to Jets games and Mets games. When is that happening when you live here? You're renting our houses. You're eating our food and complaining about how bad it is. Because, oh, you don't have the New York tap water to make your food taste good. It's tap water. Although, I think it does make a difference because our tap water does suck. You know where they have the worst tap water? Even worse than Miami? Have you ever had, like, the Orlando tap water? Like, you're at Universal Studios, you drink from a water fountain? Like, I feel like that stuff kills me a little bit every time I drink it. Like, what is happening there?
I've heard Orlando has bad tap water. I thought you were going to go with Flint, Michigan there. I mean, you set it up pretty perfectly. You said,
right.
You know who has worse tap water? And I mean, we all know who has the worst tap water in the United States.
Yeah, it's true. Flint, Michigan literally has the worst tap water. But the worst tap water I've tried is in Orlando, Florida.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad.
It tastes so bad. It's like you're so thirsty. Like you're waiting in line to get on the Hulk roller coaster. It's 102 degrees outside. You're dying of thirst. You see a water fountain, and then you have to take this gamble. Like, I'm so thirsty, but is it worth it to drink this sulfuric metallic tap? Like, am I thirsty enough to roll the dice and drink the Orlando tap water? That's my inner dialogue or inner monologue. Every time I'm in line for the Hulk roller coaster, do I tempt fate? Am I thirsty enough to drink the tap water? Or do I go on the ride first and then pay $11 for a bottle of Dasani? Like, what do I do in this spot? Usually I pay $11 for the Dasani, but that's how that tends to go. But for some reason, man, tap water in Orlando tastes just terrible, just awful. This is a great story here. Amazing insight, courtesy of the Palm Beach Post. You know, of course, Palm Beach County, that's where Lane Kiffin now resides, head coach of the FAU Owls. Has there been, like, any positive press for Kiffin since he took over? I guess the camp that they hosted, Michigan, Alabama came in. I guess that was positive press for him, but it's been a lot of negative stuff for Kiffin since he got to Boca. You know, former assistant coaches suing him. You know, that video he made to hype up Owls football looked like he was being held hostage. And now you get some insight. This goes back to last season. You remember the Alabama game. You know, he was the offensive coordinator last year. Back in September when Alabama faced Western Kentucky, that was the infamous ass-chewing session. That's what Saban called it. Remember when Saban was just berating Lane Kiffin on the sidelines, yelling his head off? You know, we never knew what caused that. Like, you thought, oh, Saban's just mad because Kiffin called a bad play. He's chewing him out. We didn't know what the story was. Probably thought we would never know the story. This from the Palm Beach Post. there's some new information about that famous sideline confrontation between Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin last season. In a snippet from Alabama football radio analyst Phil Savage's new book on Saban, Savage provides some insight into Saban's blow-up from last September's Alabama-Western Kentucky game. According to Craig Stevenson, very weird, he spells it like Greg, but Craig, that blows my mind. It's C-R-E-G. Like, where's the A and the I, bro? Get your name right. Craig Stevenson of theal.com. The confrontation, which occurred after an Alabama fumble near the end of the Crimson Tide's 38-10 win, was started by Kiffin calling players dumb over his coaching headset. Savage writes that Kiffin said into his headset, "Dumb players make dumb plays," which all the Crimson Tide coaches heard. Stevenson wrote, Saban snapped back with, oh, you're going to love this comeback. "For as much as I dislike Nick Saban, Nick Saban so won this argument. This is amazing." So Saban, and I understand this, right? Your offensive coordinator is over the headset. At least a half dozen, probably over a dozen people listening to this, hear your offensive coordinator call your players dumb. Like that, it doesn't sit well. Right? Like, the only guy allowed to call them dumb is Nick Saban himself. "Dumb players make dumb plays," Kiffin said, to which Saban responded. He snapped back to Kiffin with, "No, dumb offensive coordinators call dumb plays." That's what he said to Kiffin. That's fantastic. "No, Lane Kiffin, dumb players don't make dumb plays. Dumb offensive coordinators call dumb plays." Perfect in its simplicity. You will rarely ever hear me compliment Nick Saban in any way, shape, or form, but that's brilliant, right? And the ass-chewing session would follow that. And Phil Savage added to that. There were probably a few expletives left out. Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, the whole confrontation didn't just end with dumb offensive coordinators called dumb plays. Sure, a few F-bombs flew after that. but that makes sense. I mean, can you blame Saban for chewing him out when your offensive coordinator is over the headset calling your players dumb? Like that doesn't fly, man. It's like you can't be belittling our players. I can't speak English today. You can't be saying that about our guys, even over the headset. Like I can understand Saban chewing him out for that.
That's like if you said a take on air and I whispered into your headset, "That's a really dumb take, Dono."
Yeah, right. That would throw me off so much if you did that. Wait till after the segment is over to tell me how stupid I am. You say that in my ear, I'm like, wait, do I continue? And that's something that can get you. Like, you've got to, and this is not even about having a thick skin. This is kind of about just, like, how you respond to things in the moment. Because sometimes I'll be spewing out, like, the hottest of takes, and in my mind I'm thinking, oh, I'm on a roll here. Call me butter. I'm rolling with this. This is fantastic. This sound is going to go viral. I'm making a lot of sense. And then you make the mistake of, you're in the middle of a rant and you look over at the plumbers911.com text line and you see somebody saying, "That's stupid, you're an idiot, you suck." And you read that while you're ranting and raving. Oh, completely throws you off your mental game. So I try and wait until after I'm done making a stupid point until I check the stupid text line to see what the stupid people, none of you are stupid, I love everybody. Oh, I love all of you. But I like to wait until after the rant is over to see what people are saying, because if you read somebody telling you that was awful, like when you're in mid-sentence, ooh, very hard to recover from that mentally. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954. Breaking news? Ooh, what's going on?
It isn't a Woj bomb, but ESPN is reporting the Hawks are trading Dwight Howard.
What?
And number 31 overall pick to the Charlotte Hornets.
For what?
For Miles Plumlee, one of the Plumlee brothers. You know,
yeah, like I don't know if it's one of eight Plumlee brothers.
Yeah, I have no idea which one it is. And Marco Bellinelli and the number 41 pick in Thursday's NBA draft.
Man, trades are happening out there. You already had the Lakers wheeling and dealing earlier tonight. They traded D'Angelo Russell, Timofey Mozgov to the Nets for Brooke Lopez, 27th overall pick. And how about this from RealGM.com less than an hour ago? I don't know what to make of this. Jimmy Butler remains committed to the Bulls. What, until he gets traded? Like, you like this? So this from Mark Stein apparently reported this from ESPN. This was picked up by RealGM.com. Jimmy Butler remains intent on staying with the Chicago Bulls and helping them return to the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference. The Cleveland Cavaliers have interest in trading for Butler, but they were informed he would be reluctant to commit to them in the long term. Well, first of all, I don't think Cleveland cares about the long term. I think Cleveland just wants to win next year. I think that's what they're thinking about. The Boston Celtics have also expressed interest in trading for Butler. Chicago has appeared indecisive on whether to continue building around Butler or engaging in a rebuild. So I think this is all noise, right? I think Jimmy Butler wants to save face in case Chicago can't move him. Because everything that I've heard is Jimmy Butler has been staying behind the scenes. Send my ass to Cleveland. It's not because he wants to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or dine at one of the half dozen bars and the two strip clubs in Cleveland. It's not because of that. It's because he wants to try and win now with LeBron. Like, I've heard he wants to go to Cleveland, but now he's trying to save face by telling people, no, I love Chicago. I love the deep dish pizza there. I love the Italian meat sandwich or whatever they eat over there. I don't know, I've never been to Chicago. I love the whatever they call the Sears Tower now. I love being 120 stories in the sky, the Willis Tower. I think he's just trying to hedge his bets if he does end up staying in Chicago. Doesn't want to make that fan base angry on the way out. I can understand that.
Or maybe he came back down to planet Earth and realized, I don't want to play with that psycho Dan Gilbert. I don't want to play under that guy.
Yeah.
Steer clear of Dan Gilbert. I think it's a good move by Jimmy Butler.
Dan Gilbert's a loose cannon. He really is. You know, I want to shift gears to some entertainment news. Tonight's clickbait is movie related. This is very, very sad news. I hope this doesn't hold up, but here is tonight's edition of Clickbait.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we. Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dono Show.
Yeah, so this story broke about an hour before I got on the air, around 5 o'clock this afternoon. Variety had the exclusive. Then, of course, 10 dozen websites picked it up, and they probably forgot to credit Variety, but they had the first story. Actor Daniel Day-Lewis retiring, age 60. I feel like he's got a lot of mojo left in him. 60 years old, Daniel Day-Lewis retiring. He's one of the best in the business. Like, I really do think that Hollywood just got worse if they're losing Daniel Day-Lewis. And I hope that this is not health-related. Right? Like, I hope there's not something going on with him behind the scenes that he doesn't feel like he can physically do it. If he's come to this decision, two things here. If Daniel Day-Lewis, the man who brought Abe Lincoln to life some 150 years after his death, and Bill the Butcher, he brought these characters to life, one of the great method actors of our time, There Will Be Blood. He was fantastic in that. If he really is retiring, A, I hope this is just him deciding he needs time off. And B, I hope he comes back really soon. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis. We got some sound. This is one of my favorites. And honestly, I don't think this movie would have been that great without Daniel Day-Lewis. Because as much as I like Martin Scorsese, as much as I like Leonardo DiCaprio, the movie Gangs of New York, which I love, right? Anytime I'm like flipping through the premium channels, like I'm going through HBO and Stars and Showtime, if Gangs of New York is on, I will stop and watch it from any point. And it's on TV a lot. Like, I love that movie. And it's primarily because Daniel Day-Lewis, as heard right here, is so excellent in it.
On my challenge, by the ancient laws of combat, we are met at this chosen ground to settle for good and all. Who holds sway over the 5 points? Us natives, born rightwise to this fine land, or the foreign hordes defiling it.
I would go to war with that guy. I would join the 5 points gang. Like, I would put a dead animal over my head and wield a knife to go to battle with that dude. That was fantastic. He killed Liam Neeson. What a badass that guy is. I mean, who in the world has ever defeated Liam Neeson in hand-to-hand combat? None of those losers from the movie Taken or Taken 2 or Taken 3. Bill the Butcher, that was the guy. Daniel Day-Lewis was the guy to get it done. And why I appreciate Daniel Day-Lewis so much. Method actor. I think that's a dying breed. Like, you hear about these guys. Christian Bale. that British guy who plays the main Rick in The Walking Dead. I don't think he's that great, but that's the type of guy when he does that American accent. It's not fantastic, but he won't break back into British like ever. He stays in character, method actor. Daniel Day-Lewis is the ultimate. Like Daniel Day-Lewis, when he was preparing for the movie Gangs of New York, you know, played Bill the Butcher, he actually became a butcher's apprentice for weeks to prepare for the role. And that was just like a side ditty in there. Like occasionally you'll see him sharpening knives and cutting meat. Actually trained for weeks as a butcher's apprentice to nail that role. And then Solana, like you loved him as I did in Lincoln. He basically became Abe Lincoln for months. How he must have annoyed people on the set, friends and family. Like he's probably walking around for 3 months, 47 years ago. Like you wanted to punch the dude in the face, but a method actor always stays in character, right? And never breaking character, Daniel Day-Lewis. He's probably exhausted after like 40 years in the business, just deciding, I'm 60. I'm the most extreme method actor ever. He's probably lost like 80 pounds for certain roles. Just time to hang it up, man. Time to walk away while you're on top of the game.
Andrew Lincoln was the British actor in Rick and Walking Dead.
Right. Oh, man, I stopped watching that show like 2 years ago. I couldn't with that. I couldn't. Just meandering around Georgia. The zombies are useless now. You notice that? Like, they're just a prop. And I get it. The bigger picture for that show always was, it's not really the zombies who are the enemies. It's the human beings. I understand that. But at least the zombies used to be hard to kill before. Right? Like, So the little kid who's got one eye now, apparently, when he was like 7, he shot a target for half a day. Then suddenly, he's shooting zombies between the eyes from 70 yards away. I find it very hard to believe. And Daryl shooting arrows through people's heads. It's ridiculous, that show. And they're not anywhere closer to finding out why the outbreak, the infection. Life was too short for that. Life was way too short for that. Yeah, I will admit something while we're on the topic of television. And again, clickbait tonight. Daniel Day-Lewis says he's retiring from acting. Say it ain't so. One of the greats ever. One of the great method actors. Nobody else like him in the business. But on the topic of television, anybody else maybe, I don't know, a little bit dissatisfied? And I'm splitting hairs here because it's a great show. It's just a little bit disappointing, parts of it. A little bit dissatisfied with Better Call Saul. Am I the only one? And I get it. It's not fair that since it's a Breaking Bad spinoff, you tend to compare it to Breaking Bad. And I love the fact that they're expanding characters from Breaking Bad. You know, I'm going to try not to spoil too much if your season's behind. Shame on you. But certain, like, favorite side characters from Breaking Bad kind of get new life in Better Call Saul. I love it. You know, I love the whole dynamic they built between Jimmy and Chuck, the brothers. You know, some very good storytelling in that show. It moves too damn slowly. Like, that's the beef that I had with that I have with Better Call Saul. The third season just had the finale last night. Like, you felt like you needed a couple more episodes in that season. Like, I don't think there was really enough resolve there through 10 episodes. So, you know, while Breaking Bad could have been, it was a slow burn every now and then, like the Fly episode. You know, there were certain episodes that didn't advance the story that much. Still, compared to Better Call Saul, moved at a torrid pace. I think Better Call Saul just moving a little bit too slowly for me. And that's kind of the issue I've had. Really enjoy the show. I'm splitting hairs because I'd still rather watch that than 95% of the shows out there. But I just don't think they're really advancing the story quickly enough. And I felt like, you know, the season finale, while it did have a shocking twist at the very end of the episode, just didn't provide enough in season 3. So I had a little bit of a beef with that. You know what's at the Five Points location in New York City now, Texter writes? Bernie Madoff's old investment office. Wow. So the Five Points where Gangs of New York took place, that's where Bernie Madoff set up shop. I still need to watch that HBO movie. He keeps telling me I got to watch that with Robert De Niro. Came out, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. Channing Crowder has watched that movie like 3 times. He keeps telling me I got to watch the Bernie Madoff movie. Got to get on that. Damn, a little harsh on Cleveland, bro. Was I? Is that a first-time listener? Because I talk like that about Cleveland every single night. What? Because they've got half dozen bars, maybe 2 strip clubs, where the women are hearty, That's what's going on in Cleveland. I'm a little bit too harsh. I apologize for that. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Wow. Trump, texter writes, has the same philosophy as Bill the Butcher, but you hate him. Okay, I think Bill the Butcher, an amazing movie character, not a guy I would vote for as my president. Can you see the difference? The Alex Dono Show continues, WQAM.
Miami Sports Radio 560.
The world's game plays here. Every night, it's time for your nightly football fix on the Alex Dono Show.
Sad news. I hate to bring things on a downer note, because usually we spend this segment talking about Cristiano Ronaldo evading his taxes. Shame on him. But unfortunate news, say legendary United States women's soccer coach Tony DiCicco died today at the age of 68. I mean, really, I'm not going to say it's all on him, because, of course, Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, they had a lot to do with this back in 1999. But Tony DiCicco was the guy who coached the U.S. team to that 1999 World Cup title before a packed Rose Bowl. Like, that was awesome, right? To think about an international women's soccer game having 90,185 fans to watch United States beat China penalty kicks in that final. Like, to think you get that kind of a crowd for a women's sporting event, like, it seems semi-normal now, because women's soccer has become a pretty big thing worldwide, especially in the U.S. Like, it's bigger in the U.S., women's soccer, than a lot of other countries, because a lot of European countries, a little bit slower to embrace that, because I remember back in 1999, you know, I got family over in Italy. I spend some time there from every now and then. Every couple summers, I go over to Italy. And they, even back then, 90s, they used to say, well, you know, we don't really watch women's soccer. It's an inferior product. Nobody cares, right? Like, you know, the great females don't gravitate towards soccer. I think that's changed a lot. Like, I think it's become a lot more of an embrace thing, not only in the United States, but all over the world. And a big part of that was, you know, the U.S. blazing that trail, dominating in that 1999 World Cup, a superstar like Mia Hamm, Julie Foudy involved in that as well. And Tony DiCicco was the man who coached that team. Passed away today at the age of 68. Actually, he passed away yesterday. Last night, his son, Anthony, wrote Tuesday on Twitter that he had died. No cause of death was announced. But, you know, very sad. One of the pioneers of really, you know, putting women's soccer on the map, packing over 90,000 fans in the Rose Bowl to watch that final. He is no longer with us. So I think the world of soccer lost an important figure this week. Rest in peace. Let's go to the phone lines at 305-567-0560. Let's talk to Charlie. You're on WQAM. What's up, Charlie?
What's up, Alex? How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, good, man. Hey, listen, tell me the Dolphins are going to make an offer to Landry before the season starts.
God, I hope so. We were talking about that in the 8 o'clock hour. Like, I understand it's not going to be easy to agree on a price, because, you know, this is a slot receiver who wants to be paid like an outside receiver. But if they haven't made him an offer now, like, that's surprising to me, because in order to start a tough negotiation, like, you've got to start by making an offer. That gets the ball rolling. Counter offer comes in. You work from there. Like, I hope they make him an offer within the next 5 weeks.
Well, it's going to be a lot harder to come up with a price when you're competing with 19 other teams.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah, right. You want to get it done now, not 9 months from now.
And you talk about a guy who's a team player. He says, look, after the season starts, I don't want to talk about it. No animosity. I'm going to have a great season. We'll work hard. The guy does and says all the right things.
Yeah.
But he's a great player.
You're right over there?
And I'm fine. He's the heart of the offense. Yeah. He's the heart and soul of this team. He is such a passionate guy. To lose him would be a horrible thing for this team.
I agree.
Not just the offense, just team in general. Sorry about that. And listen, the guy at Arnold, the linebacker from Denver, I do respect his First Amendment right, but I can't respect the sentiment. Anybody who kneels on 9/11, when there were 3,000 police, firemen, and innocent people that lost their lives, I think that's misguided as hell. I mean, I look at that and I say, maybe on another day, but not 9/11. And I like the way Jerry Jones handled it. Jerry Jones told his players, I respect your First Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on my dime and you work for me, if you want to kneel, you go kneel in the locker room. And he said, you're not going to alienate my fans. You're not going to cost me money. And I know Ross was on board with it, but I wouldn't have been. And I just can't. I'm just not down with the sentiment. Although I don't believe that anybody should be punished or anything like that. This is their first right.
Right.
This is America. People do things all the time I don't like, and I'm sure some of my.
Well, and you know what? And the way you say that, I appreciate that. Charlie, let me let you run because it sounds like you need some water or something. But listen. You know, okay, Charlie, his point may not agree with the way I see it or the way that Brandon Marshall sees it or Kenny Stills or Colin Kaepernick or whoever, but I respect the fact that he says, you know what? I don't think these guys should be punished for it. I do understand it's their First Amendment right. Charlie said I disagree with it. It's fun. It's beautiful. Like, that's America right there, right? In this country, I am not Kim Jong-un, right? It's not my job to tell you how you should feel about people protesting. Like, it's not my job. My job is to remind you that they have a right under our Constitution to do it. They're trying to change minds. If it's not changing your mind, fine. That's what makes this country so great, that you don't have to agree with them. So I totally respect that from Charlie, right? To say that I disagree with it, I don't think it's right to do that, especially on that particular day. But I understand that in this country, it is his constitutional right to do it. I think that's what makes this country great. I should run for president with a platform like that. I can make America great again. Ira Winderman will make America great next here on WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.